Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Boston Hockey Pod. I'm Andrew Battaferrano, joined by
Sarah Kirkpatrick
and Judy Cohen.
This week we'll talk about, I guess, what wasn't a great weekend for BU up at Lowell. They get swept in what ended up being a two-game series in the best of three quarterfinals, and didn't really look all that great after the first game. I mean, they played okay the first game, they lost by one, but geez, that second game was pretty rough.
Yeah, my hot take of the weekend is that was probably easily BU's worst loss of the season on Saturday. That was just astounding to me that they played that badly. And, like, not even to take any credit away from Lowell. Lowell is a very good team. But just the lack of effort by BU in that game and just kind of... I don't even know if they... Like, what happened? Like,
yeah.
They just didn't even show up.
They looked
like
it deflated.
Dead. Like, yeah. I didn't even, like, the game hadn't even started, and it was just like, okay.
See, I expected a series like, you know, like how the first game played out. Like, very close game, like, couple chances here and there. And even though BU did outshoot Lowell that game, a lot of them did come from the outside, the shots. But it was still a pretty even game for the most part. And then the second game, it was just like, geez, like, what happened?
Alarming.
Did they, like, just, like, think the series was over after one game? Like, I don't know. Like,
it was so odd because, like, you'd think, like, we've seen them after they've lost a game.
Usually pretty good.
And they come out really hard the next game.
Yeah.
And they, yeah. And, like, this, it was kind of like, same as yesterday. Like,
maybe Lowell's gotten into their head. They can't win in that building. I mean, it's 0-3 now this year. And, well, that's what'll finish because they won't play there again. But... Unless somehow one of the regional gets moved from Worcester to Lowell, which I'd be okay with, but it's a nice arena. But
not the point.
No, they played like crap. I think that's the best way to put it. I mean, I'm not going to mince words. They didn't play very well.
Yeah, we probably come up with worse words, but we're a family-friendly podcast. So.
It's just, I mean, they're still pretty much a lock to make the NCAA tournament, so it doesn't hurt them in that sense. And it was going to be pretty tough for them to, I think, win the entire Hockey East tournament again. Especially repeating is difficult in any sport, especially in hockey. And the teams this year, Hockey East, the top teams are just they're so good this year, especially BC, which has given BU fits this whole season,
Providence
even last year,
good.
Too. Providence is so good. Lowell's so good, obviously. They
beat
Lowell, and Northeastern's the hottest team in the country, so...
Yeah, that's crazy. Their whole run.
We could devote a whole podcast to that.
Did you see they're ranked
14th
in the poll this week?
And 14th in pairwise.
Yeah.
So, like, they have a very, very good chance to make the NCAA tournament. Hockey East is so, I mean, the bad teams are really bad, but the good teams are really good this year, I think. I think it's a very top-heavy league.
They're going to have, like, half the conference in the
National
Which is crazy,
just shows how good the league is this year, and it shows how much work BU really has to put in if they want to make a run. And right now, I don't see them getting past the first round, the first game of the first round.
Yeah, I just have kind of a lingering feeling, like, and I wrote about this in my pluses and minuses this week, just... They, even with last week's performance, last weekend with the UMass series, just inspired little to no confidence that they're going to do anything in the tournament, which is just really disappointing because I know...
They've beaten good teams this year.
I think it depends who they play because I think if they don't play a Hockey East team first round for whatever reason...
They play better
at
a conference.
Right. Like, which doesn't make sense. But I think if they don't play a Hockey East team first round... they probably have a better chance to get to the regional final, and then
I know they lost to them this year, but they obviously beat them last year in the regional. But they match up pretty well against Yale. I think they play pretty close games against them. They beat Quinnipiac this year, who they could very well play against. They split with Michigan, beat Denver, and so like they've beaten these out of conference teams or hung with these out of conference teams, and not that they haven't hung with the Hockey East teams, just Lowell. Jeez, I know it's at Tsongas. I know it's a tough place to play, and it's different than playing in Aganis because BU did win there. But man, Lowell just...
I don't understand how you don't take one.
I thought they were going to take the first game. I know we talked about that.
I thought they were
not on the podcast, but before, like, we were kind of like making our pregame predictions to ourselves. And I thought BU was going to take the first one, and I thought would end up losing in three.
Yeah.
And they almost did take the first one, but after I feel like they were kind of deflated after that game because they know they could have won that game.
Yeah.
It felt like they were deflated after Lowell tied it.
Yeah.
That game.
Oh, and they went up 1-0 and then...
And then Lowell
tied it, and then it just kind of...
Which, like, has been a problem all year, because, like, Quinn has said after games, he's like, we have to, like, know how to get scored on. Like, no one knows how to react to getting scored
on. And they...
On.
I still don't think they...
No, me neither, and I don't know how you fix that.
And even Quinn's reactions after the both games, he just seemed very despondent. He was, like, not usually... He's not usually that sad after a while. I don't know, just, like, the
reaction... I don't think he was sad.
I don't know, it was just the way he didn't seem... Like, he was shorter with his answers than he normally is, and... Not that, like, you know losing that. Teams usually are shorter with their answers than, you know, when they win, they want to talk more. But, I don't know, just something about it, maybe he just didn't seem as into it as he usually does. When he, like, usually he takes something more positive out of it, and this time he didn't really, I didn't get that sense.
I think, while we're on the topic of post-game press conferences from this weekend, something that astounded me was how he blamed the team's lack of maturity.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's game, like, I don't even know what number game we're on. Like, we're 2 weeks from regionals.
Yeah. It's
and you're telling me that your team isn't mature enough yet?
Which is interesting because he talked about the freshman D-men last year, about how at this point in the season, they were like sophomores.
They were like sophomores.
So shouldn't that be the same case for the freshmen this year?
You would think, and I'm just... alarmed that at this point in the season you're blaming maturity, especially when your entire sophomore class, your entire junior class, your entire senior class has been through very deep playoff experience.
They've had all, they've all had playoff experience in some form.
They've had national championship experience.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
We are talking guys who have played in big situations.
Bean pots. Hockey's championships. National tournaments. So, like, they've played in all of these different tournaments. It's not new. Not for the, I mean, for the freshmen it is, but not but, for the guys leading them,
and
or
I'm
for the people coaching them, for that matter.
People coaching them. Like, I'm just stunned that at this point in the season, you would show up to a big game and just not even remotely give an effort.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just don't, I'm just... at a loss for words at this point.
I mean, they're lucky that it doesn't really affect them as much for national tournament
wise. And maybe that's the problem.
Maybe that's maybe that was in knew. The back of their minds maybe that, like, knew, all right, like, even okay. if we lose this game, we get a week off. Maybe
we
that
get
was
a week
in the
off
back
last
of,
week. Maybe we'll get a week off.
Maybe
next
that's night. They're like, maybe we'll be fresher going into the national tournament, because there's only like one really fluky scenario where it would happen where they wouldn't get in. But it's
that's
very very
so out of the picture.
99.9% in, according to Pairwise and College Hockey News. And,
yeah.
Everyone else.
I just wonder if there's, like, a disparity in team mentality, like, in terms of playing for Hockey East. Like, because they're so locked into the national mm-hmm. tournament, like, Matt Lane after the game said that, like, he's like, I hope that didn't affect anyone's mentality, like, that they're locked into the tournament so they don't need, quote-unquote, need to win Hockey East. But he was like, Hockey East is good, too. It's still a championship. And I don't know if some people on the team felt that way. I legitimately don't. But if that was part
like, we
of
can't
it,
classify
then,
that.
But if that was part of it, I mean, that's kind of disappointing.
Yeah.
Because you're not really giving stock into what's a pretty, I don't know if you call it prestigious, but it's a pretty cool
for
league.
The best league in the
in
nation.
College hockey.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, you won like
the
top league.
You're
the
best
league,
of the best teams.
Which
like
is what they were last year.
Yeah.
And I think they took a lot of pride in that.
And like, no offense, but like, only hardware they have this year is the Kelly Harkness Cup.
Which
like,
you didn't even
really
technically win.
You didn't even technically win
shootout.
That game.
You got a tie
like,
in that game.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
It's...
I don't know. I
which
don't
is
know
the same,
if
which is the same hardware they got 2 years
like,
ago, but...
too focused on the national tournament, or, like, if it didn't even occur to them that, like, Hockey East was a possibility,
but... like, let's be real here.
I think they just had a bad game.
But...
it wasn't a great weekend, though.
If you're if you're ranked fifth in the conference, then, like, you have a whole lot more to worry about than the national tournament.
Well, yeah. Let's also go back. We're focusing on the Lowell series a bit, which makes sense. It just happened.
Yeah.
But we can go. We didn't have a podcast after the UMass
yeah,
Amherst series.
Say, yeah.
And I only covered the first game. I went on a trip for the second game, so I missed the second game. But they didn't look very good from what I could tell in that series either. And Amherst is, okay...
bad.
Again, a very, very bad hockey team, and their coach is fired. Micheletto's gone.
He was literally fired, like, less than 12 hours after we talked to him on Saturday.
Yeah, so, like, they're in disarray, that program. And BU barely squeaks by that. I mean, I know it was a two-game sweep, but 2-1 goal games.
They probably should have lost that first game if it
were for Sean McGuire. They played horribly that first game.
Yeah, did they? Like, literally, UMass was winning that game until Sean McGuire made an absolutely brilliant save.
One of the best saves I've seen all year from them.
Yeah.
And especially in the situation.
Yeah.
Same. No, I just, I mean, like, obviously it's the playoffs, and like, this is an excuse that people have been saying, but no, UMass did play up to them. They were really physical, and they rode them and gave them no space in the attacking zone.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time,
you are better than them.
And okay, and Nick Reynard had like the game of his life, but like, you're like a tangibly better team,
a lot better,
like, and mathematically. Like,
for it to be a one goal game both nights, like the first night, I understand because of Reynard. The second night, they should not have scored 4 goals.
But, like...
It's just, like, leaving... I mean, we talk about this, like, we wrote about this. They left people open in front of... Right in front of McGuire. Not much you can do about that. Well, I mean, yeah, there is defensive
coverage. Well, goaltending-wise.
Yeah, no, I'm not blaming him. I'm blaming the defense, but...
but one of the best defenses in the country.
No, it's whatever. It's fine.
That was something that... It was in Terriers All Access, and it says something to the extent, like, the Terriers are known for having one of the best defenses in the country. They're ranked 25th in the nation.
Paper, they were supposed to be.
They're supposed to be.
They have great names, recruit-wise and player-wise, but they haven't played so well lately.
Because badly.
People who you thought were going to continue to grow
have just stopped growing or regressed.
And those that... Well, okay, the people who've come in have gotten better.
Charlie's gotten better.
A lot better. Really... Like, I trust Charlie.
He's becoming a very good player.
I trust Charlie now. And, like, Grizz is always good.
Grizz is good.
He's always...
Doyle.
But that's really it.
But,
like, I don't trust Brandon Hickey right now.
Which is kind of disappointing.
I don't trust.
He used to be, like,
one of their best defensemen last year.
Yes.
I...
Top three, definitely.
Yeah, I'd say top three.
Yeah.
I just don't...
I just... Whatever.
Trust
I mean,
any
we,
of the rest of them.
Yeah,
we can talk about this.
Right. We
till
have
the cows come home.
Talked about it. But,
but
I mean, that was part of... That, so that was the problem in the second game. And it's just... I mean, it just seems like if it's not one thing, it's another thing. Like,
and it was,
they very rarely have, like, things firing on all cylinders.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's the Quinnipiac game.
That was one of the only times.
Exactly.
All penalty kill looked good. The goaltending was great.
Yeah.
Like
the offense got it going when they needed to.
And maybe a little bit of the Notre Dame game.
And Cornell, and a little bit of that towards the end of that.
I think those were games that they need to build on, and I haven't
watched the tape from that Quinnipiac game over and over again.
Honestly, because there were some comments after that game where people were just saying, like, they just basically went in, played their game, and picked Quinnipiac apart. And, like, that's... You know,
and one of the other games, I know they didn't play a perfect game against BC in the game that they tied, but I thought they played pretty well in that game too, for the most part.
I think so.
There were some chances that they shouldn't have given up here and there, and then the
Fitzgerald goal.
There were a lot of odd man rushes, but I think they hung with them and they played pretty well. And those are games that you have to really build off of, especially after a horrendous weekend that you just had. But I mean, you're talking to the point that you're talking about that yes, UMass did play up to BU in that first series. But I think about last year, I know they did have Jack Eichel and they played when they played Merrimack, but they killed Merrimack. That wasn't even like close, and I figured that's the series that it would have been against UMass, because I mean nothing that UMass showed me this year in the regular season against BU would have said, wow, this is gonna be a close series. And just that, it didn't give you much confidence going into a series against Lowell, which always plays BU pretty tough.
Right, and then what are you even expecting going into the national tournament? Because they'll get angry and realize that was not great.
I would think they would be angry
after UMass or after
saying,
the first Lowell game. Like, if that doesn't make you angry,
First UMass game when they snuck by in overtime.
Yeah.
You think that would have been, all right, wake up call, time to turn on the Jets.
I just don't know how they could be complacent when, like, they've
played so badly.
Like, not, like, just, they're not even in, like, a position where I feel like they could be complacent, and yet they played complacent.
They're not good enough to be complacent.
Right, but they're, I feel like...
Like, I could have seen it maybe last year a couple times. Like, it would have made more sense last year.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, and it caught up with them, but yeah.
Yeah. It's just, and this, again, not to, like, reiterate everything I wrote this weekend after Saturday's game, but, Like, we talk about Lowell, and, like, people make fun of Lowell because, oh, they have, like, 25-year-olds.
They've guys that are born in 91.
Yeah, and they're just so old. Yeah. They have, like, 25-year-olds.
But that's what you have to do when you can't get the guy, the recruits that BU gets, like, the top-tier first-round picks, second-round picks. You have to get those gritty players and those older players that are going to round out.
And their system makes them, like, flourish.
Norm
Basin is,
like, the best coach.
Yeah.
I will say, here and now, Norm Basin's the best coach in the country.
I don't know enough. Take. Okay. There were a lot of other coaches I don't know too much about. Like, a lot of the Western coaches, like, but Alaska Anchorage. Like, I don't know.
I'm willing to say Norm Basin's probably the best coach.
Hockey East, for sure, I think
Norm
he's the best
definitely.
Coach.
Easily the best
definitely.
Coach. He is...
Because on paper, that team is not better than half the teams in Hockey East.
He, like, they just... They, the system works. They
the system
they score.
Works.
They block a lot of
they
shots when they need to.
They sell out.
It's a team
shot.
Effort.
It's crazy.
But the thing is, it's not like a... It's just to think of an NHL coach, like a John Tortorella. It's like, score one, sit back. No, they're going to play... They're going to forecheck still, but when they have to play defense, they're going to get in front of
and
pucks.
And all they were doing against BU in that Saturday game, they were just getting sticks on sticks. Getting sticks on pucks.
So many shots that were going
exactly
out of play.
Exactly, because either guys weren't taking shots fast enough, or because like the Lowell guys were anticipating exactly what they were going
to
do.
It's
crazy.
To think about Adi, he had one shot on goal, and like I remember you mentioned it either once or twice when we were covering the game on Saturday. It's like, take a quicker shot. Like, if... But, like, you give that Lowell that little bit of, you know, maybe a second or two, they're going to cause havoc and your shot's going to go wide or over the net or, you know, a soft shot on net that Kevin Boyle's going to save. Let's just quickly talk about Kevin Boyle.
He
plays to such an advantage. It's insane. Like, a lot of the shots that can go for rebounds, he'll, like, hold on to them so they won't get out for rebounds. Or if he does get it, he'll, like, kick it out way out somewhere, like, ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
And I still think if we're voting, like, best goalie and stuff, it's Thatcher Demko. That's my vote.
Obviously.
Always. He's going to get my Hockey's vote. He's
second
team. I think he's going to win the Mike Richter Award.
He should.
Or at least he should.
He's the best goalie in the country.
But Kevin Boyle had a very, very good year, and you could talk all about Lowell's system, too, but, I mean, you don't get that many shutouts without having some talent.
Right.
You got to give him credit, too, for playing well, especially in the first game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's something that Quinn said after the game, is they don't really have any stars besides Kevin Boyle.
I think
Smith's pretty good. You know, he's pretty good.
I wouldn't call him a star, though. You have to be careful with how you're defining star.
Yeah, that's always the...
It's always a weird thing.
He's not...
different definitions.
Thatcher Demko.
Yeah. I mean, he's not like a Tyler Kelleher. He's not like...
Yeah.
You know.
He's not going to... He's probably not going to be like...
Right.
Maybe he's not
like
the top, like, free agent coming out of...
Right.
After the season. Also, just going... Talking about...
Not a Kevin Waugh. Not a Junie Juzy, but he has other guys too.
Talking about goaltending, Quinn pulls Sean McGuire 2 goals into the 5-goal effort.
That.
He calls it a gut feeling, which, you know, he's done that a couple of times the last 2 years. But also, let me just point this out. I can't remember a time, aside from when Sean McGuire's skate fell off, which was a necessary goaltending pull because he had to get his skate fixed. I can't remember a time where he pulled one of his goalies to switch to a different goalie, and then they actually won the game. I can't think of one the last 2 years. They've lost, I think, all of those games, or tied.
Yeah.
I can't think of a gut feeling working out in any of those situations.
Yeah,
now that you mentioned that.
I can't think of one either.
Yeah.
Because the games I think about, UNH last year, they lost. This game, they lost. Lowell this year, they lost.
I also just, like, don't understand. Like, I get if you have a gut feeling about McGuire not being great, but then... You think that Lecuve, who hasn't played in 2 weeks and who's coming in cold,
very
sporadically, is immediately a better option?
You wait till the third or fourth goal.
I think it's...
Well,
in
a playoff game, it's a little different.
First of all, it doesn't even matter.
It doesn't matter.
They didn't score, so it didn't matter. But
I
could see a third goal.
I mean,
I
didn't
see a third goal.
On the second goal, like, I didn't feel the game getting away from BU. Yeah. You know what
I
mean?
Kind of
I think the third goal...
Yeah.
Well,
the third goal, I was like,
that came...
Exactly, that's my
point. ...with Connor in net.
Point.
The thing is, there are people like in our comments being like, I don't think Lecuve is as good as some people say. I tend to lean more pro Connor, but at the same time, Sean McGuire is the reason BU is as good as they are now.
I'll say this:
Connor
Lecuve is a good backup. He gives
he's
up some very, very soft goals. That like that goal that oh, that third goal, which should have been offsides, apparently. Like, I still have not seen the replay on it.
Yeah, I probably shouldn't watch that.
But apparently, according to Quinn and a lot of other of our blog commenters and people on Twitter.
All the parents in the stands.
Everyone on
going
Twitter.
Like that.
Everyone on Twitter.
Waving their arms.
Apparently, it was very offsides. But still, that goal just, like, it just, like, trickled in, like, it was so...
He had it moved, and it went in.
I've seen him give up a couple of those this year. Mm-hmm. Maybe not that exact type of play, but softies like that.
Softie?
Well, it's like a softie. It's a soft... That's like what you call a soft goal.
No, it's just funny.
But also, I mean, the goals that Maguire gave up were definitely goals that he never really ever gives up, which I think...
Exactly. That's why...
Why Quinn pulled
that
the trigger.
That first goal, he was just...
From, like the blue line, almost.
No, but I don't think... I mean, like, we were at a perfect angle to see that. I think he just didn't reach out far enough. Like, he had his glove out, and the puck just went
farther
into the net.
Maybe it kind of moved on him, you know? I don't know. I'm not in his mask.
What was the second one?
It was the,
the one that just, like, squeezed
by? He didn't, like, wrap it around, but he kind of came from behind the net, came to the front, shot it, and went through his five hole.
Yeah, I don't know.
It was a very weird
goal.
He
gave up one of the, not that exact goal, but kind of similar kind of thing to Harvard.
Mm-hmm.
You remember that? Well, you weren't there.
No, I wasn't at Harvard, but...
Harvard, he was hugging the post, and it kind of, like, squeezed between his skate and the post, and he was, like, looking, like, at the post, like, where's the hole? But that's, I mean, I didn't see a hole. And, like, it still took me a while to realize how the puck went in, clearly.
Yeah,
but
it's just, it was two weird goals.
Two weird goals that he doesn't usually give up.
I can understand if you think, like, he's not playing well because they were two softer goals that Maguire gave up. But, like, did you really think that Lecouvé was going to play better than that?
I don't know, like, those two fluky goals, like, I feel like he very well could have, but I feel like he wasn't going to give up a third one.
No.
You know?
Like, or even if he did, I feel like... Like I said, that's when you pull him.
I mean, the point's moot because, like, they lost in
and
the shutout.
Didn't
so, like,
score, right? But
you give up one, they would have lost. Well, maybe the game would have played out differently, but...
I mean, it was kind of a weird momentum thing. You can talk about momentum all you want, but I just feel like at that moment, it was
maybe
a weird decision.
Maybe you need
I think so, too. I think in momentum it was because I didn't feel like the rest of the team was playing particularly poorly, and then to, like, switch everything up in goal
kind of
and have
off.
The defense kind of have to worry about now playing in front of Connor instead of playing in front of Sean. I mean, that's a whole other thing
different
to worry
styles.
About. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And,
And then once it was 3-0, I knew it was over.
I mean, yeah. Like, they weren't getting shots
Yeah,
off.
Even
like,
2-0, I, like, started to have that, like, creepy feeling. Like, this isn't going to go well tonight.
When it was 1-0, it's like, all right, one.
Yeah,
you know, maybe
like,
it's like, oh,
like,
they scored the first.
Yeah, like, you literally said that. Oh, he scored.
And then once
it
went 2-0, it's like, well, all right, they're still not playing well. And then it was 3, it's like, it's over.
Okay,
like,
yeah, this is
going into the third period.
That was the kind of goal, like, the third one was. Like, the fact that it wasn't called back, and you were like,
just
okay,
one of those games, and
but
maybe that's what they kind of fell in going into the third period. Like, it's nothing's going our way, you know.
But at the same time,
which
like...
Which is another thing that's...
That's another
their
attitude issue.
Yeah, exactly. But
which you hope they... Can clean up.
I just don't know where that would come from.
See,
We don't know. But if that's the problem, I just don't know where that.
I just feel
from.
Like we've heard it so many times this year. Like staff needs to look itself in the mirror and they have to figure out some sort of way to make sure the team plays better. How many times can you look in the mirror?
How many looks have they taken already?
How many? Like, is it
a
genuine
like,
look? Like I don't know.
And like.
And
coach
that,
Quinn always says, like, it falls back on me as a coach.
Which, I mean, every
motivated.
Coach usually
and
says.
And every coach says that, but at the same time, like, what have you changed? What have you done to motivate them more? Or, like,
yeah.
What...
I mean, we don't see them in practice.
No.
We don't know.
But if... I don't know. We keep coming back to this, but, like, if you're not motivated yet...
Right, what's it going to take?
Then what's it going to take?
Yeah, at this point when you're playing for the national title, probably.
Yeah.
What's more motivating than that, especially after what you went through last year,
yeah,
you
no
know,
kidding.
Losing in the most heartbreaking fashion that you probably could ever lose in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And especially the guys that are returning, which is quite a bit of the team.
Mm-hmm.
You think that one game would be, I mean, just, I know, like, you can't have that in your mind all the time. But to me, like, thinking about that once in a while, like, wow, like, we were so close. Like, we're good enough we could do that again. Like, that would be in my mind once.
Yeah, like, just be like, okay, we have a lot of the same guys. We can...
We're good enough.
We're good enough. But it's just, where's the chemistry? Where's the motivation?
Maybe that's part of it, honestly.
Where's the team attitude?
That's what frustrates me, is that this team, when they're playing well, can quite literally beat any team in the country.
The number one team in the country.
Exactly. Beat an undefeated team.
Tied the number two team.
Like, but why aren't you playing consistently? Why aren't you playing like that every single game?
That brings up a good point that Sarah brought up a good point that we probably never hit upon, and like I usually don't like to talk about it because I think it's kind of like you have good chemistry because you're winning. Yeah, people say there's bad team chemistry because you're losing, but I think in hockey it means a little bit more because chemistry means a lot because you're playing with guys on the same line. You know, it's like it's a very team sport where you're very dependent on who like you're playing, the flow of the game, and maybe it's not as good right now. Maybe guys aren't clicking together on the same lines. Maybe that's part of it, too.
But they, like, the lines get changed so infrequently that, like, why don't they have chemistry at this point?
Yeah.
It's...
Maybe because they didn't have chemistry to begin with and the styles just don't mesh. I don't know.
I'm still not a huge fan of the second line, but...
Yeah, I agree.
I'm switching that up into the playoffs... When it was working so well.
When I was wrong about the Jordan with Adi thing, and they seemed to play really well together.
And they haven't scored a goal in 13 games.
Right, and I just think that, like...
Moving
Bobo up, which I've said before, I think it eliminates the effectiveness of the third line.
Mm-hmm.
And so you kind of are relying on the top two lines to do something when you don't really have... I mean, not functioning bottom six, but, like...
And I get wanting
to put Bobo in your top six because like he does play well there and he has a good shot and he's a very aggressive.
He's been playing really well.
But at the same time, he drove that third line.
Like don't
promote. And now the third good. Line is like
that means you can roll out more of your guys throughout the game. Right. It keeps everyone fresh too. You know.
Yeah.
Talked about that with the fourth line.
It's I don't know. I didn't understand changing that.
I really liked that second line with
Lane, Greenway, and Ottie.
I didn't think it was a good mix at first because I thought you didn't have that much.
I thought
much.
It was too heavy.
I thought you had too much like big guys, like not
with
like,
really fast
too physical
Lane.
But like I kind of liked having a little bit more speed on that line when you had Clunen was there. But it worked well. Ottie has a great shot. Greenway plays the body well down low, and Lane can facilitate, and he's got speed. It worked really well.
Yeah, and then it just gets changed.
And then Lane, you talk about he hasn't scored in God knows how many games.
13.
So we know how 13. Many. We know how many games.
I checked the other day, and it was 12, so, and then the next game makes it 13. Can I? We're kind of going over on time, but I want to close this out.
Close it out.
A quote. From the USCHO forums, God help us all.
Oh my God!
I've been perusing them a lot recently, but somebody brought up a very good point, and it's stuck with me. But they said that you don't get de facto leadership just because you have experience. The experienced people have to show leadership, which I think touches back on a lot of what we've been saying
in terms of
these leaders. Like you look at Matt Lane, Danny. Matt Grizzlick, like, these guys are very good leaders, and we're not going to take anything away from them, but it comes back to the juniors, to Doyle and Robbie, it comes back to the sophomores. The sophomores are the biggest culprit? I don't know if that's the right word, but, like, they are... The sophomores...
Somebody's lacking.
Yeah.
Exactly.
They
have the potential to be leaders on this team and to propel this team forward, and
Like you said at the beginning of the year, when we were previewing our stuff before the season... Your sophomores have to be better when they were freshmen. Your juniors have to be better when they were sophomores, and your seniors have to be better when they were juniors. And right now, the sophomores aren't playing better than when they were freshmen.
No, they're not.
For the most part,
they're not. Like pretty,
like
pretty definitively are not. And I think that's kind of the most disappointing thing.
Definitely.
But we'll close out before this hits half an hour. We've gotten all of our complaining out.
Thank you for listening. We won't have any games this weekend.
We might have a pod after.
Figure something out. I want to do something.
Sunday will be the selection show.
Sunday. We can talk about that.
Yeah.
So stay tuned. I think ESPN will have it like they did last year. So right now it looks like, according to a couple different people on the interwebs, that BU will be a 2 or a 3 seed as it looks right now, but things can change, and that's why you should listen to us next week when we hopefully break it down in the Selection Sunday podcast.
All right. Thanks for listening, guys. Peace out.